Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome our listeners, wherever they are throughout the world, and of course, particularly in Great Britain, and also to welcome onto the panel four exciting, talented, excellent performers of this particular game. We welcome back with great pleasure Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Sue Perkins, Clement Freud, who are going to show their verbal dexterity and intellectual ingenuity as they try and speak for just a minute on a subject that I give them, and doing that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who will help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre, which is in the centre of the West 1 district of London. And we have an audience here that has been cobbled together from every corner of the great metropolis, looking as if they're trying to get in out of the weather. But they are going to be a happy group as we start the show with Graham Norton. And Graham, the subject is The Secret of Eternal Youth. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
The secret of eternal youth is to make friends early on with some very old, ugly people. And bring them with you at all times. And then, no matter where you are, it doesn't concern you about the lighting conditions or any such thing, you'll always look quite good, relatively speaking. This explains why some people in EastEnders fancy Phil Mitchell. Because in life, I can't really see it myself. But in the confines of Albert Square, he is a bit yee-haw. Oh, my goodness, what a heartthrob. Back to the subject, which I seem to have deviated from.
Sue Perkins, challenging. Yes, I think he admitted his own error, Sue. Deviation from the subject of The Secret of Eternal Youth. And so you have a point for a correct challenge, Sue. You take over the subject. You have 11 seconds to tell us something about The Secret of Eternal Youth, starting now.
The secret of eternal youth is to try and never die. This can now be done by sending yourself to space, where atmospheric conditions mean you don't get as many wrinkles.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Sue Perkins, who had another point in that round. In fact, at the end of the first round, she's the only one to have any points at all. And Clement Freud, will you take the next round? And the subject is Baker Street. Tell us something about Baker Street in just a minute, starting now.
In the early 1930s, G.K. Chesterton wrote a letter to the manager of Baker Street Underground Station. Dear sir, he wrote, although Saturdays occur with regular monotony, they always seem to take you by surprise. Baker Street is a thoroughfare of which I'm very fond, all the way from the Lost Property Office at one end to a dress shop called Robel, which a maiden aunt of mine ran before the war, at the other. The Abbey Building Society, where Sherlock Holmes was recruited.
Paul,
this is sort of deviation. It's the Abbey National Building Society.
It's the Abbey National, yes.
Not the Abbey Building Society.
Yes, and I don't think Sherlock Holmes was any when it was the Abbey National Building Society.
It wasn't then called the Abbey National.
I know, but
it was the Abbey
exist,
Building.
Exist, everyone. There you go. I just thought I'd say right. That because you're talking about him like he really.
I've seen him on television.
Deviation, and 22 seconds, Paul. Tell us something about Baker Street, starting now.
Two. Oh, I can't.
Yes, you were trying to say 2-2-1 Baker Street, weren't you? You sure?
I was trying to say that, yes.
Yes. Clement, you challenge first. Right, to repetition, 20 seconds. You have Baker Street back with you, starting now.
Baker Street goes from north to south, and to its west and east you find Wimpole, Welbeck, Harley, Great Portland, Titchfield, Gloucester Place.
Are you doing the knowledge?
Yeah, but he ran out of streets, and you got in with 6 seconds to go, Paul. Baker Street starting now.
Sherlock Holmes, Moriarty, Dr. Watson. What do those names conjure up?
Clement Freud challenge.
Not Baker Street.
Yeah. Sherlock Holmes?
Sherlock Holmes. I'm afraid in my mind it definitely conjures up Baker Street. Everybody.
The Abbey Building Society.
No, I definitely associate those names with 221B Baker Street, where he was his residence. And therefore, Paul, you have a point for being interrupted, and you have half a second on Baker Street, starting now.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
But Paul Martin, speaking as the whistle went, and with other points in that round, has moved forward. He moved from nowhere to being in the lead ahead of Sue Perkins. Clement Freud has a point. Graham Norton has yet to score. And Sue, it's your turn to begin.
What?
It doesn't matter. You haven't got any points yet. Well, you've spoken, but you haven't got any points yet. This is just a minute. You know, people can speak for ages, never get any points.
I know I have.
Sue, Perkins, will you take the next round? My best friend is the subject. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
My best friend in all the world is Fidel Castro. We first met at school, where he was some 35 years above me. I was always attracted by his big, bushy moustache, and whereas I went on to present a fairly mediocre daytime programme...
Yes,
the memories of which have addled my brain.
Hesitation, yes. 46 seconds. My best friend with you, Paul, starting now.
My best friend has changed over the years. When I was about 9 years old, my best friend was definitely somebody I went to school with, but then later on it became somebody else. Isn't it odd? I wonder if we do keep our best friends throughout our life or whether they do actually change. So you say...
Graham Norton challenge.
Was there now a repetition of change?
Possibly.
There wasn't. They're moving towards me.
He did repeat something else, which I won't say, because otherwise someone will challenge for
it. He repeated
afterwards.
Another thing, though.
There was something else. No, it's too late now. He didn't repeat that. He repeated something else, but if I say it, you'll challenge for that.
No, wait. what are we talking about again?
So an incorrect challenge.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Paul, 29 seconds, my best friend, starting now.
I've recently started...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of somebody.
That was the word. You did say somebody twice. Clement, you were listening. And which is a very good thing to do in just a minute, actually. You have 28 seconds. Tell us something about my best friend, starting now.
People who talk about their best friends invariably mean dogs, canines, four-legged animals with damp mouths and wet skins and hair that leaves its mark on the carpet. I've never had that sort of best friend because mine have only two, a left and a right pedant, coming from their hips.
Paul, you challenge.
No, it's something's gone wrong there.
A right and a left pedant coming from...
Yeah,
coming
I don't know what's gone there. It's pick a word, any word there.
Any word. You were the first in there, yes. Deviation from sense, really, I suppose. And 5 seconds for you, Paul. Tell us something about my best friend, starting now.
My best friend is somebody I'd like to name now on the radio.
Paul, Clement challenge.
Repetition of somebody.
Oh, yes, you've got to listen in this game, haven't you? Clement, a correct challenge. 3 seconds, my best friend, starting now.
My best friend went to Cuba for his holiday.
So, Clement Freud speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point. Other points in the round. He's moved forward. He's ahead of Sue Perkins, Paul Munson in the lead, and Graham Norton is trailing a little. And Paul, would you like to take the next round? The subject is a bouquet of barbed wire. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, it was a television series in the 1970s that was particularly raunchy, I seem to remember. Frank Finlay starred in it. I believe the scripts were written by somebody called A.F. Newman. It was definitely a woman, anyway. I remember that much. And there was...
Graham Norton challenge.
Oh, repetition of remember.
Yes, you remember too much.
Oh, did I?
Yes. So, Graham, you've got in with 48 seconds, a lot of time. And you've got a bouquet of barbed wire starting now.
Imagine the wedding where the brave bridesmaids stand in a row thinking, ooh, I might catch it, and next time it'll be me. Little do they know their horrible friend has chosen a bouquet of barbed wire. Suddenly they're hideously scarred and will never marry. Their ugly dresses are in tatters where the bouquet has hit them quite hard. card across their hip as they struggle in a big heap.
Yes, what's your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation. A collapse, I think. Sue, a bouquet of barbed wire is the subject. It's with you. There are 17 seconds available, and you start now.
And as the bouquet of barbed wire hits the bridesmaids in the face, the slashing and ripping of flesh, the blood tearing off their beautiful tear-stained faces, they think, why? As their voices move.
Poor challenge.
It's elongated vowels.
I was just acting. But
yes, I know you were
catching.
Acting. You were acting beautifully, yes, but you're getting it, Graham Law, because the vowel sounds are catching. And I think we'll interpret that as hesitation. So, Paul, you've got him with 5 seconds on a bouquet of barbed wire, starting now.
It is an extraordinary phrase, isn't it, where we take two disparate elements and put them together to actually...
Football Martin speaking again as the whistle went and the other points in that round. He has increased his lead. Graham Norton, your turn to begin. The subject, yoga. Can you tell us something about yoga? If you can, start now.
Yoga is an ancient form of relaxation using the age-old traditional method of boredom. Yes. People sit cross-legged in a room, nodding off, thinking, oh, my God, I've spent £40 for this session. And all I've done is think about the ring around the bath that I didn't get to clean this morning. I'm not relaxing at all, apart from falling asleep. It often involves wearing lycra, which, let's face it, is a mistake for many people. You think yoga good, but that particular form of material isn't a great choice. Sting claims he stays in shape using yoga. Yes, in a gym with some heavy weights attached, I'm thinking. Because you don't look like that if you do yoga, do you? It's just...
Paul Merton challenge.
It's a small word, but it was do in about, you know, do,
yes,
do you.
Yes, you did have a lot of do's.
Ah, right.
Yes.
He's thinking of Sting.
Yeah. He let the second do go, but he came in on the third do. Do, do, do. Right. And you've got him with 5 seconds to go, Paul, on yoga starting now.
Undoubtedly, it is a very good way of keeping fit. First of all, what you must do is you must put on...
So, Paul Merton Gain speaking as the whistle went. Gain, the extra point, has increased his lead. And, Sue, your turn to begin. The subject, the tube. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
I love foreign visitors on the tube, dressed in all their gaudy colours of the rainbow and mandatory rucksacks, which mean they can't sit upright, but instead assume a very strange 45-degree angle position on the seats, which is good because they're particularly uncomfortable. They ask me directions. Where is Buckingham Palace? I like to say, get on the Circle Line and keep going round until it stops. Gleefully walk off into the sunset. When tube bosses got together to work out how they were going to establish the network, they discovered the amount of people who might be travelling and then...
Clement Foy Charles.
The repetition of people.
Yes, you did mention people before, Sue. And so, Clement, you've got in with a correct challenge. 25 seconds, the tube starting now.
I like the Bakerloo line best. It is so much more attractive and comfortable than his district, Piccadilly, Jubilee, Central... Where's the London Docks Light Railway with no...
Graham Norton challenge.
I don't think there is a Docks Light Railway.
Well, wait, when this is broadcast, it isn't going out immediately.
Oh, right. So they're building a...
Ken
He's a powerful man, Sir Clement, isn't he? He's going to get a point. He's going to leave this studio, ring someone and go, build it now. Okay, how much it costs?
Well done, Graham. Yes, deviation. 11 seconds for you. The tube starting now.
There are lots of brilliant tube things. There are tube socks. Boob tubes were popular for a while. I never quite understood them because it's not quite a garment, is it?
Paul Merton Challenge.
Deviation from the tube, isn't it? It's all about socks now.
No, but he had tube socks. He talked about socks. He talked about tube socks.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
And boob
tubes.
I must have nodded off.
Yeah, I must have nodded off.
I do apologise.
That's all right, don't apologise.
That's all right.
It's all part of the fun. It's all part of the... It's all grist to the mill of the show.
Is it?
Graham, it was an incorrect challenge. You have another point, and you'll be delighted to know you only have half a second to tell us more about the tube, starting now.
The Central Line is my father...
So, Graham Norton speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and with other points in that round, came from absolutely nowhere to be in... fourth place.
Yes.
Sorry,
whence
Graham.
Whence he came, so he returned.
I didn't mean to do that, Graham. I'm terribly sorry.
He's burst into last position.
But you're only 1 point behind Clement Freud and about three behind Sue Perkins, but you're all quite a few behind Paul Merton. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is the seven deadly sins. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
Originally, the deadly sins were gluttony and pride, things like that. But in today's scenario, I think a deadly sin is wearing Dr. Scholl therapeutic sandals. Also putting desiccated coconuts on cakes, which everybody
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation, sir.
Yes, there was on the desiccated coconuts. Right, 40 seconds. 48. I can't read the lights shining on the clock.
We've seen the lights again.
They're off. I have to hold Janet Staplehurst's hand when
you
I look at the
You don't have to hold her hand.
Yes, but I do hold her hand so
well,
that I can...
He does, because otherwise she'd take it away.
It's actually a vice-like grip you've got there.
Oh, I do set myself up very delightfully for them, don't I? But then that's what's the fun of the show. 40... Well, it is. 40, you are kind. 40 seconds are available for the seven deadly sins. Oh, that's a lovely idea, isn't it? You have 40 seconds for the seven deadly sins, Paul, starting now.
The Seven Deadly Sins is a film made by Graham Stark, usually an actor, but it became a director in around about 1974, I believe, and it featured all kinds of different comedians. Smite Milligan was in there, I think, playing Envy, Harry Secombe, certainly, Bruce Forsyth, all those kind of...
Clement Freud Challenge.
All those.
All those. Oh,
really?
All those, yes. Oh, really, yes. Mm. And Clement, you've got in with the correct challenge of repetition, 23 seconds, the seven deadly sins starting now.
I think what should be added to the seven deadly sins is letting your children get fat. It seems to me quite disgraceful that if you have offspring and don't feed them at all, you go to prison. But if they are filled with butter buns and cakes and cream and...
Graham Norton Challenge.
Oh, no, I think I'm wrong, though.
Why?
I am on a cake.
You're wrong.
It was cake and now it's cakes.
It's cake, yes. A butter bun's the second
time.
Can
I ask what a butter bun is?
A butter bun is a wonderful confection which is sold in the Southwold, where I live.
Right. So are you happy?
And contains...
You know that area. It's the one full of fat children. Scarcely cross the street.
Right, and the sin you're referring to is, of course, gluttony, but you still have the subject with 2 seconds to go, starting now.
I think giving people garlic without warning them.
Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward into second place, just ahead of Sue Perkins and Graham Norton. Paul Merton is still in a strong lead, and Sue, your turn to begin. The subject, a good egg. Tell us something about a good egg in just a minute, starting now.
A good egg is an aristocratic term for an old man who sits in a battered brown leather armchair, who possesses extremely right-wing views and is a member usually of a gentleman's only club. Day in, he'll spend puffing on his cigar and pontificating about matters about which he has no idea. Usually, he'll describe himself as an old liberal, which is a blanket term.
Graham Norton Challenge.
Are they two olds?
Yes. Mm. There was two olds there. Mm.
Well, I'm just asking.
No, you... I'll accept the challenge.
All right.
You're correct. 38 seconds, Graham. A good egg, starting now.
A good egg was Humpty Dumpty. Sadly, he wasn't a very good acrobat or climber. Heights were not his friend. A good egg, though he was, he sat atop the wall. Did he fall? Was he pushed? These are the sorts of mysteries that hound me through most of my waking hours. All the kings...
Martin, you challenged.
Well, he's getting suicidal.
I know.
I've learned from Humpty's example.
Right, so what is your challenge when the rules are testament? No, he was going. He was elongating rather a lot, but I don't think he got to the stage where I call it hesitation. But try, sharpen it up a bit, otherwise I might have to give it again. 11 seconds, Graham. Still a good egg, starting now.
A good egg is only known to you once you've cracked it. This seems a sort of design...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Not necessarily, because you can put an egg in its shell into water, and if it sinks, that means it's a bad egg.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you believe
right.
that?
It's true.
It's true.
You see, I think
it's
you're
true.
Just throwing away probably a very good egg that was a bit heavy.
No.
You'll never know unless you crack it open.
The point is, Paul, that that is true. But, on the other hand...
I don't believe it!
Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. According to you, Graham, a good egg doesn't become a good egg until you've cracked it open. That is your philosophy. That is your attitude. So I accept it is not deviation. All right? And you have 4 seconds to continue on a good egg, starting now.
A good egg, in my book, is made by...
Paul Merton Challenge.
We had the phrase, in my book.
We had the my book before, I'm afraid.
Really?
Yes. Oh, Graham, you strip yourself up. Yes.
Paul, no, I'm fine.
You've got him this time. 2 seconds, a good egg, starting now.
A good egg was the one that was fertilised by my father.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle when gained that extra point has increased his lead at the end of the round. We're moving into the final round, and actually it's Paul Merton's turn to begin. But before he starts, let me say, Paul, you're in a strong lead, and Sue Perkins, Clement Freud and Graham Norton are almost equal. Only 1 point separates them in second place. Well, the...
Let's go with that again. One point separates three people, yes. But all in second place.
He's being kind.
It's getting through to me at last. I really is. Actually, what happens is Clement Freud, 1 point ahead of Sue Perkins, and Sue Perkins, 1 point ahead of Graham Norton. For those who are interested in the score, so it is actually second, third, and fourth.
Yes.
Right. But Paul is in the lead, and Paul
is
in the
lead. Suspected. But,
the other three are not in the lead.
So Paul's in the lead. Is Paul in the lead?
Paul is in the lead.
Oh, Paul's
yes.
in the lead.
Paul's
right.
in the lead, and he begins the last round. And we're very apt because we're doing this recording in Broadcasting House in the Radio Theatre here, and the subject is Broadcasting House. Tell us something about Broadcasting House. 60 seconds, starting now.
It's a building with a fantastic history. I was listening only yesterday to a recording of Itmar that took place in this very room in 1947 with the King and Queen in attendance. But the trouble with the show is it's not particularly funny anymore because a lot of topical references are missed. If you come into this building, you will see a big sign...
Clement Freud Challenge.
Repetition of building.
Yes, you talked about the building when you started. Yes, you did. So, Broadcasting House, if you, Clement, 45 seconds available, starting now.
17 Station Approach, Chester Street. 412 Ravenscroft Avenue.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Well, it's the ramblings of a taxi driver.
So what's the...
I want to know if he goes south of the river.
So even if he's going to try and establish that they
Nothing
are
broadcasting
house. They're not, according, not broadcasting house. They may be broadcasting house buildings, but they're not broadcasting house. So I'm afraid I interpret that as deviation. Paul, it's back with you. 38 seconds, starting now.
By the men who stand outside and guide the public around. I can see you looking at me, Clement, but it's not going to put me off. You will see a sign.
Clement Freud Challenge.
Deviation, and nothing to do with broadcasting house.
We're in Broadcasting House and you're looking at me.
I must explain to our listeners, Clement sitting beside Paul Merton did intimidate him by looking at him and having his buzzer and his nose. And his intimidation, I'm afraid, has paid off. So, Clement, I have to be within the rules of just a minute. It's a correct challenge.
Oh, and in what way is intimidation? It's not deviation,
hesitation, from Broadcasting House. And you're quite right. Clement Freud is in Broadcasting House, but... I don't know. I'll put it to the audience. If you agree with Clement's challenge, you all
yes.
cheer for him. And if you disagree, you all boo. And you all do it together now.
Boo. Yay!
Oh, what a lovely sound. I'm glad you encouraged that.
Clement, I think they're with you on this one. So you have the subject and you have 30...
OK.
Yeah.
Did we
I
say
know.
The other...
Well, of course the booze are going to catch... Listen, mob rule... mob rule does not work in radio.
Only intimidation.
And only intimidation.
Let Clement have the subject.
He's got the subject. He's got 31 seconds. Broadcasting House, Clement, starting now.
In my opinion, any house in which one broadcasts is...
I must explain to our listeners that... huge laugh and that round of applause was because Paul Merton was getting his own back on Clement Freud, and he went even further. He walked out in front of him and waved his arms so that he couldn't continue. The audience loved it. Clement dried up. So you get the benefit of the doubt, and Paul, you now have it again.
This has created a dangerous precedent.
It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. Intimidation has got Clement. You got intimidation, but please do not resort to intimidation all the time because it'll be too difficult to judge. 26 seconds, Broadcasting House, starting now.
Nation shall speak unto ditto. Ah, you thought I was going to say nation.
Never throw you a challenge.
Repetition of nation.
Yeah. Nation, yes.
He said you thought I was going to say nation.
Wasn't that after the buzzer?
Yeah, but no, that was after the buzzer.
No, it was not.
No, you're right, it wasn't after the buzzer. Right. Have you pressed your buzzer yet?
Yes, I pressed it when he said nation the second time.
I think he's actually right. I think he's right. So, Clement, 22 seconds, Broadcasting House, starting now.
In London, there is a Broadcasting House situated in Portland Place, not far from Regent's Park, and equally adjacent to Oxford Circus, easily approachable by the underground and buses. And in olden days, when I was a child, a trolley service from Marble Arch passed very close to Broadcasting House.
Paul Merton challenged actually just as the whistle went. I'd like to know what your challenge was.
Well, he said a trolley service. I think he probably meant a trolley bus service.
He did mean a trolley bus.
Because I'd said bus before.
Oh, I see. I think
he did convey that it was a trolley bus.
And Tesco's was different then. Yes. They pushed you all the way back to your flat with the shopping.
So we give an extra point to Clement Freud because he would have got one there because that was an incorrect challenge. So let me give you the final score for those interested in points because it's the contributions, isn't it? And Graham Norton, who last time we did a show here in the Radio Theatre, of course, won magnificently. But this time he finished just in fourth place. He was only just because he was only 1 point behind Sue Perkins, who was only just in third place. Because she was only just a few points behind Clement Freud, who was definitely in second place. Because many points ahead, way out in the lead, was Paul Merton. So, Paul, you're the winner this week. So, it only remains for me to say thank you to these four talented players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Sue Perkins, and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping with the score and blowing her whistle so excellently when the 60 seconds are up. And, of course, we thank Claire Jones, our producer, director, and we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game and keeps us all in work and keeps us so happy, and our audience here in the Radio Theatre who have cheered us on our way. From them, from our panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute.